News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
All right, what's going on? 8:07 Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. Still a touch of fog out there that you experienced early this morning. I didn't have it real early, but it looks like maybe that was part of the reason for that accident on I-10 earlier today, which jammed up things westbound.
Yeah, it could be. We've had some accidents this morning, more than we have been seeing. So be safe out there on the roads. That fog will be around each morning the next couple mornings. We'll get a small cold front that moves through over the weekend and drop back into the 70s. But other than that, dry weather. And you pointed out all the fires we've been seeing.
Yeah, so, my gosh.
Yeah, dangerous conditions right now.
That you could hear how scared that poor woman was from Citronelle in her voice. She was like shaking, talking about these fires not far from her neighborhood. I mean, right there.
So. Yeah.
Frightening situation in a lot of areas of the state, including down here in South Alabama.
Yep, and for a lot of that, you have to thank our first responders, and we'll talk with one of the longtime and well-known first responders in this city right now.
Indeed.
And that is former Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine, a candidate to be the next sheriff of Mobile County, and he is in with us on Mobile Mornings. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning, and thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming
in. Nice to have both of you in here.
And can't wait. Want to talk with you about the campaign and everything, but I just, you know, had a story this morning, the Mobile Law Enforcement Foundation over the weekend recognizing Lieutenant Matthews. He had his birthday, Lieutenant Lorenzo Matthews, this past weekend. Earlier this year, there was a standoff situation. He ended up getting shot in the abdomen. Thankfully,
Tuscaloosa Street, right? That was that one?
I believe so. And thankfully, he survived that, but up to a year-long recovery. He's been with MPD for 26 years, and I think, Paul, you know better than anyone the danger of being in a job, whether you're working for the police department or the sheriff's office, and we wish Lieutenant Matthews our best.
Well, we do, and I'd like to, we called him Scooby at work. That was kind of a long-time nickname of him, but happy birthday to you, Scooby, if you're listening to it. But yes, it's very dangerous. An abdomen shot is a very fatal, can be a very fatal and critical injury, and it's only by the grace of God that he survived that, and we wish him certainly well, and we've been praying for him as well.
And there's been some money raised for him. Again, the Mobile Law Enforcement Foundation, they have a link for raising money. It said he's going to be out for a year. So it's at MobileLawEnforcementFoundation.com. Thanks for coming in. I know a big part of your campaign for sheriff has been transparency and accountability. You've said those words a lot. How would you look to bring transparency and accountability to the sheriff's office? And are there areas right now that you see with the current leadership that isn't transparent or accountable in some way?
Yeah, and I want to just make this clear. You know, we're all fighting for the boats right there and somewhere in the middle, right? Mr. Birch has his base. I have my base. So when I say things, sometimes his side gets a little worked up about it. But if we're talking about transparency in the way of job performance and policy, there's really two things that really do matter, right? Is what is the crime doing? How effective are you? And certainly, how well and effective are you with the people's money? And the first part with the crime data, we don't know how well he's doing because, you know, and I can't really blame him, so to speak, because no sheriff has ever put out an annual crime report. And I'm amazed why the media has allowed him to go without putting one out. And so we don't know how well or effective that we're doing with the money that we get to fight crime. And then the second part is, I think we've shown on my podcast, the absorbent amount of overtime that's being used, $180,000 a year. In some cases, for some of these deputies that, you know, their base pay are $60,000, $70,000 a year. And it's not that we are against people making money, but we should be frugal and we should do the best management practices with the people's money. We call it revenue, but it's really tax money, right? And we have seen where the budget has been blown for the last four fiscal years. And I believe that in truth and transparency that we have to get the most with the most amount of money that we have.
You can see in other counties and other cities around the country, just bizarre violent crime, like kids off Virginia Beach in Chicago, where they just kind of flash mob and do things that are just like, you know, what can you possibly do about something like that? But when you think about the fear of violent crime that these citizens have in Mobile, what policy would you implement maybe in the first 90 days where we would actually see a measurable difference in that violent crime?
Well, I think what you're referring to, and it's a great question, really, is about the perception, right? There's two parts about crime. You have what the data looks like.
Yes, yes.
But then social media drives whether or not that perception of crime is bad. And in the first 90 days, we would roll out a plan, a strategic plan for the public to know exactly what the Sheriff's Department is doing. And then we would work with all the media partners, you know, whether it's radio or broadcast media, to show specifically what we're doing and have a game plan to beef up the boots on the ground, if you will, to show the public, hey, we're out here if you need us.
Yeah. You mentioned the budget earlier and how money is being spent. What do you feel? How do you feel about the staffing levels for the sheriff's office as it currently stands right now? And also, you know, how many, do you know how many deputies you would need? Talk a little bit about the budget and overtime, which has become a big issue.
Well, the overtimes are a huge issue, right? Because, you know, Mr. Birch has even come on to 106.5 and talked about the shortage both in the jail and I think in the street with the overtime budget that's been cut. But when you look at the absorbent amount of money that's been used in overtime, you know, I think I was somewhere between $1 million and $1.5 million, you know, that I counted just on 14, 15 names. You know, I think it's frivolous spending. I stop short of saying it's stealing. I do find it hard that people can work over 2,000 hours a year physically. But at the end of the day, I think the bigger issue for me is, you know, the sheriff says we're 40, 50 correction officers short in the jail. We know that the sheriff's department on the enforcement side is typically a third of the size of the Mobile Police Department. I think somewhere around 160, 70 deputies. I would think we'd probably need to be at least around 200 deputies. And if we know that we've got several million dollars that's just being spent in overtime, then there's absolutely no reason to beef up the jail and certainly hire additional deputies to come out and do the work. And I think he also said that we had 90 schools within Mobile County. And we talk about school resource officers, you know, if we only have 12, then we need to really look at pushing to hire the additional to cover the school shortages for the resource program.
So do you think to make that happen, would you have to cut from other parts of the budget, or would you have to ask for more money from the county? Or
well, I think the sheriff's budget has grown some $17 million over the last 4 years. Prior to 23, the every sheriff has ran the jail and the enforcement side with less than $57 million. The sheriff himself said we're at $74 million. You know, my position is this, is that we can't see his budget. We don't know exactly what he's doing with the money. We would have to audit the books, go in, and my commitment to the people of Mobile County is that, listen, if we've got that much money to spend, we need to make sure that they see deputies rolling, turning blocks, and making sure that they're resolving and solving the problems in the community.
So you arrest people who are, you know, violating the rights of others, the court system takes them in. Now you have to have somewhere to put them.
Right.
And of course, what do you think the level of the jail overcrowding, what's the status right now in Mobile County? And what's the, if there's a big enough problem, what's the possible solution or solutions?
All right, so it's a two-part. So the first part, I don't know really what the capacity is right now. I think the jail holds just over 1,100 inmates.
Okay.
I think typically we average somewhere around 1,500 at any given time, whether it's 16, 17. You really got several options, right? One, we have got to sit down with the judicial system, the prosecutor, the head judges, and say, listen, we have got to move these cases along, get them done, get these folks out of the jail and get them up to Atmore or whichever state penitentiary they're going to go to.
Okay.
We got to do that. That's a whole bigger issue that's really outside the controls of the sheriff's department. But the other two are simply this. We've got to make the jail bigger. And that's going to cost more money, a lot of money.
Yep.
And I don't know that solves the problem, but we may also look at some other alternatives, like such as during COVID, you know, where there were nonviolent offenses.
Mm-hmm.
We were writing citations, you know, to individuals, you know, and then they would get a court date, much like a traffic ticket,
sure.
Right?
Sure.
Nonviolent offenses where we're not clogging and tying up, you know, bed space in the jail. Now, some people may not like that, but there has to be some real leadership that says, listen, what we're doing is not working, and overcrowding with 40 or 50 correction officers short is creating problems not only within the rank and file of the administration at the jail, but it's also creating hostility and animosity, and it's also the sheriff's responsibility to protect inmates, whether we like that or we don't like that, because if we don't protect them and we don't have safeguards in place, it creates litigation.
Yeah.
We're talking with Paul Prine, candidate to be the next sheriff of Mobile County, former Mobile police chief. And while we're talking about the jail, you know, the new administration, Mayor Spiro, he's talked about, you know, with the buildup down there along the waterfront,
right,
maybe moving all that out of there. I don't know where the sheriff's office would stand in those kinds of conversations, or whether that would have to be something carried out to the state. And I honestly don't know how extended those conversations have become, but is that something you think we as a city could manage?
Well, you may be able to. It's just going to come down to how much money is being spent and what the future goals, not only for the city, but the county. The city doesn't get to really dictate that. It's going to be the county commission and the sheriff's department that dictates that. And certainly the city would be able to contribute that, because they're the largest financial contributor of the jail in terms of partnership. And I do know that they want to kind of revitalize that whole waterfront area. And I think that's a good thing. I do. Mobile really does have a lot to offer. And I think Commissioner Hudson had even kind of admitted during the mayor's campaign that, hey, that's an eyesore coming off I-10 down there. And I'm not necessarily opposed to it. The problem is going to be, where are you going to move it? And nobody's going to want that in their backyard, right?
Yeah.
And but, you know, when you look at some of the laws for the Sheriff's Association, there's a reason why the Metro Jail is downtown, and it has to be kind of close to the courthouse. It doesn't necessarily need to be within a few blocks of it, but it has to be conducive down there, or at least the sheriff's office does. And so I'm not necessarily opposed to it, but without looking and being involved in maybe the strategy and the planning, you know, it's kind of hard to speculate.
Paul, is the former police chief of the city of Mobile, how closely do these two organizations work together, the county sheriff's department and the city of Mobile? Is it vital that they do work well together? Can you make sure that they do optimize that and work as well as they possibly can to keep people safe?
Right. So all the agencies work well together, maybe not at the highest levels, right, because the chiefs are in the sheriff's all doing their administrative and political things that they do. But the lower rank and file, the men and women that I've always said that are really doing the real work in these agencies, they do work very well together. Maybe not as much in a coordinated way, where it's like, how do we help specifically the city of Mobile from the sheriff's department do that? And, you know, a lot of times they do work in silos, but they offer services to one another in the way of technology or, you know, making arrests or things of that nature. I think it could be collaborated a lot better.
Okay.
And certainly as the sheriff, you could certainly streamline that process, not just for the city of Mobile, but for every agency in the county.
Before we go to the break, and we'll come back with Chief Prine, but you mentioned youth violence. I think Dan maybe brought up youth violence and how big an issue that is. And you've talked about the SROs in schools.
Right.
And we've, unfortunately, but also fortunately, we've had to see them act. You know,
right.
It's a good thing they were there.
Sure.
It's unfortunate that they've had to act in some of these schools. But youth violence, every single election we have, that comes up. And you have many people who say it's all about preventing that violence from, you know, talking to these kids when they're little bitty.
Right.
And kind of instilling that in their mind all the way up. But then, you know, we see youth violence all the time. So you have the immediate prevention and the penalties for when they act. I mean, what's kind of your overall thoughts on how, as sheriff, you can help bring down those numbers as far as youth violence is
concerned?
Well,
listen, I'll simply tell you this. If any one man or woman had the solution to that, we'd all make our money in weight in gold, right? And we probably wouldn't be in the city of Mobile. We'd be in one of the larger cities. But at the end of the day, you have to do all of those things. But what I'm not a fan of is continuing to do the same programs, not measuring those programs, and not having a real idea whether or not we're getting a return on the investment. I do believe, growing up poor, and we talked about that earlier, where I grew up in Pritchard, I did have a lot of love, faith, and discipline. That's what's missing in a lot of these homes. And while government can't get into the home, I do believe the next best thing is working in the school systems to ensure that these children, these underprivileged children, have opportunities to grow, develop, get a skill, and make money. And I do believe that'll change. You're not going to save every child, but I do believe in my heart of heart the things we're doing today just simply are not working on a mass scale.
Yeah, like you said, say, measure it and find out if it's working, or throw it out and try something new, right?
Absolutely.
Dan and Dalton with Paul Prine, who would like to be the sheriff of Mobile County.
Yeah, and we'll take this news break, come back, and get more questions in, including about body cams and other responsibilities of the sheriff's office, all on the way right here in Mobile Mornings.
Getting your morning moving. Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Owig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 825, Mobile Mornings. Paul Prine, candidate for sheriff on the Republican ticket here in Mobile County, and that those primaries coming up in May.
Yeah, just over a month away, a month and 4 days by my count. We'll be at the ballot box, and this will be one of the races on those ballots, and thankful for Paul Prine to be in with us this morning. Let's talk body cameras, too. It's I know you've had this conversation over the years of law enforcement. You've been in, and it's a big topic for the media, obviously. Right. I was at the Alabama Broadcasters Association. They had awards this past weekend, and it came up there. People were talking about body cam access. Where do you stand on that whole thing? And are there certain things you feel the public doesn't necessarily have a right to see from body cam footage?
Well, that's great, because you said access, which that makes it a two-part question. So, number one, I am for body-worn cameras, and I know that even officers with the Mobile Police Department are very reluctant, but I can assure you, majority of the men and women that are doing the job are doing the job in a professional manner the way they need to be doing it. There are some uh-ohs that happen, and we, as leaders, we have to deal with it, but body-worn cameras show transparency. Now, I am conflicted when you have a major critical incident, and you know, I know there's a need to know from the public. They're paying for the body worn cameras, and you know, and I'm still kind of on the fence. Do you turn it over immediately? The issue that we find is that when you turn over body worn cameras immediately, then we're almost trying to try an incident, especially if an officer is culpable of wrongdoing. We're almost trying that officer through the court of public opinion. Mm-hmm. And the problem is you know, real leadership says that, hey, if my officer is wrong, well, he's got to go to the court system and for his due process. But just as much as we try to preserve and reserve evidence, right, for anybody that has to go to the judicial system, we should not just abdicate and throw away our responsibility because an officer was caught wrongdoing. Now, I know some people may not like that, but it also brings litigation in, too. And we have to understand that when that litigation comes, the jury pool comes from the community that you've already released a video in, mm-hmm. and that a lot of activism comes forward and they try to sensationalize. Broadcast media does it all the time because mm-hmm. they're looking for clicks, and that does nothing in the way of helping and healing a community. I am still conflicted on it. I can tell you, having firsthand experience going through some of those critical incidences, our officers were not found to be culpable in some of those cases, in my opinion, and certainly the grand jury has settled most of those cases. Now, those cases move on through civil litigation, and you have to go through that process, but that's a whole different animal, a whole mm-hmm. different beast. But I am still conflicted, but I do think that the Sheriff's Department should have them. They're one of the few agencies left in state Alabama that does not have body-worn cameras.
We've got a minute to go here. What you got on your desk?
Well, and do you think, can we keep you past this last segment?
Long
one
as
more
need.
Segment past
sure.
this, because I have more questions for you.
Sure.
As far as helping other cities around the county with law enforcement, I guess Sims has been
right.
a while, but Pritchard is the one that always comes up, and
right.
The Pritchard Police Department, some of the issues they've had over the years. How do you see continuing some of those partnerships that the sheriff's office has already built, and how you can, you know, help other communities in the county?
So I think the sheriff, as the top law enforcement executive officer in the county, should lend assistance to every agency that needs that help. However, I do not believe that we should take on, as the sheriff's department, the sole responsibility to go in and police another community who's paying tax dollars for their government to provide police essential services, right? If you need specialized services like identification work or crime scene investigation, we should be able to come out and help you. But when you abdicate your responsibility in the county and you're pulling deputies to go over to another jurisdiction mm-hmm. to do the work when they have a bona fide police department, you know, I don't think we're doing them a big service, and we're certainly not taking
yeah.
we're shortchanging the people
right.
that we should be providing the services for. And I think what's that's important to know about that is that, you know, there is a current mayor, a new mayor in Pritchard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if there were issues with the police department before and you kept the same chief, then what you've done is created the same problem that you had before. And I'm not saying that there was an issue. I'm just saying some of the issues that I knew about, and I think it's problematic, and the sheriff's office should not be doing the actual police work when there's a bona fide police department in place.
You made a great point about, you know, you've got your own
responsibilities.
Yeah, citizens that are waiting on your help at any given minute. It's 8:30. He's going to return with us, Paul Prine, for Sheriff.
Yeah, we'll hit the news questions on the text line, 251-343-0106, and we'll return with Paul Prine right after the break.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
8:35 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Continuing our conversation with Paul Prine here in just a moment. But first, we head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing just fine. Another sunny day now that the fog is going away here at Airport and 65. And I'm sure it'll be a beautiful day on Dolphin at McConnell Automotive. What you got going on today?
That's right. We're going to be here all day. Don't forget, man, that those new cars are coming in every day, cars and trucks. And we got a great selection of the new GMCs. We got that lifetime warranty on them now, so I'll be sure to ask for that. And when you buy that new truck, you can check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. And when I got here this morning, they were unloading all the cars we bought yesterday from the auction, so we'll have those out front, mostly all pickups. So you're looking for a GM certified pickup truck, we're going to have them out front. We probably got about 30 of them now. So,
yeah,
we just got four-wheel drives and two-wheel drives. So come on by and see us.
You're talking to an audience that loves their trucks. So that's some good news. And you certainly take care of the customer, whether they're coming in for body work or to get a vehicle. Appreciate your time, Louie. Hope you have a great day.
Hey, thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go find him at McConnell Automotive. He's on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and they have that great website, too, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Sun beginning to peek out of the fog here a little bit. Off to another very sunny, very nice day. Paul Prine would like for his campaign to be sunny all the way to the sheriff's office.
That's right.
Eventually, with the election coming up, May. As far as maybe this is a little bit back burner at this point, but it certainly was a big story half a year ago or so, the immigration enforcement going on with the federal agencies. And you saw a good bit of work being done in Baldwin County, then also in Mobile County. So you've pretty much pledged you'll be on board with all that and help the best you can, correct?
Listen, I'm a law and order guy. I believe that people, you know, in a law-abiding side of society, people have to follow the rules, right? And while my family were immigrants, my wife came over here as an immigrant. They did it the right way. I do believe there's a right way to do it. All I've ever said is, yes, we will help the federal authorities. We really don't have any choice, right, to uphold the Constitution. The reality of it is, all I've ever said is, let's do it in a way that's humane and doesn't bring embarrassment to our county.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's pretty good words there to live by in many different aspects. Has that been, I mean, as police chief for so long, have you been surprised, I guess, at the amount of deportations that have come out of, I know you weren't working in Baldwin County, but Mobile and Baldwin County? I've certainly been surprised.
No, I haven't been surprised. We've seen it over the years. When I first started my career, it was called INS, right? Now it's Homeland Security, technically. And, you know, when I first started my career 30 years ago, if you ran across some folks that were here illegally, they would come out and pick them up. But then over the years, because of politics, it waned and waned and waned. And then when law enforcement came across illegal immigrants, you had to let them go. They would just tell you to document, and then you never followed up or never found out whether anything else was done on it. So, no, I was not surprised. But I do think that we need to know who's in our communities because, mm-hmm. unfortunately, they commit a lot of crimes, too. And what I've always said is we have to bring even the illegal immigrants out of the shadows because if you think about it, you know, there's a lot of sexual assaults. There's a lot of kid sexual physical abuse going on and domestic cases going on, and these people don't come forward, and these victims are just in the shadows, and we have to find a way to be able to bring them out of the shadows and do things in a lawful, humane way to be able to protect some of them, their own people, if you will.
Yeah, so, you're right.
So many people are moving in to the county. It's been a big discussion point. Seven Hills Fire Department just asked for a levy increase so they could service so many of the people that are out there now. And I know that you were always forthcoming as chief. You'd come on the air and answer questions right. from our listeners. We do that with the sheriff's office every month, too. And one of the sure. questions that always comes up is traffic enforcement
right.
and speeding. Hey, what are you going to do about these people that are flying 80 down my two-lane road that
right.
I pull into my house? Where do you feel, and we talked about the staffing levels and everything, how do you kind of handle traffic enforcement? Is that a priority for the sheriff's office? And, you know, so how would you handle that, I guess, first off? And where does it lie in the priority of all the things the sheriff's office is supposed to do?
Well, I think it's huge. I think with law enforcement and governing society, the goal is compliance. It shouldn't be enforcement. I was never a ticket writer per se because I thought sometimes it burdened people, but it is a necessity. One, we have to do a workload assessment within the sheriff's department on the enforcement side to find out, do we have enough officers to be able to answer the calls in a way where, you know, where the response times are reduced, but also ensuring that these same deputies, when they do have proactive time to go out there and enforce traffic, I do believe it's a valid approach to going in and making sure people are being safe, because there's wrecks, there's fatal wrecks out there on county roads all the time, and mm-hmm. That would be a top priority, and believe it or not, that's been asked probably more than anything in the sheriff's race,
really?
Along with the body-worn cameras, especially for those out in the county.
I've got a question about traffic, but it's about the story that Dalton had earlier. I guess we both had stories about human trafficking this morning, right?
Yeah, and unfortunately.
It's so unfortunate. It's so frightening. I'm not sure, as a law enforcement man, do you think you have a better idea of the level of human trafficking out there than the average citizen does? How pervasive is it? Because I've heard some really scary incidents out there.
Well, human trafficking can be kind of siloed into several things. You know, I mean, it could be as something as, you know, kind of a underage runaway young lady that's taken up with an adult male. But then there's the human trafficking where, you know, they're smuggling kids or women across the border, and that's problematic too.
And I'm talking about local kids being targeted in
yes.
human trafficking networking.
I've
heard a couple of incidents, and it's unnerving.
It is pervasive, and I probably have a lot more knowledge than the average citizen does, but probably not as much knowledge, perhaps, as the federal government does. Mm-hmm. That is a big pull on our society, and we have some great groups here. I don't know that we do enough work, even as the chief of police, as much as we tried to when I worked in the narcotics unit, working with our federal partners, when you've only got 5 to 7 men that work typically in that unit, you know, it's kind of hard to be stretched and pulled.
Yeah.
And I do think that maybe the county needs to look at maybe implementing a task force wide for not only the federal but the state and local agencies that want to participate, and let them do specifically that type of enforcement. And I do think there's a need for it.
Okay.
Interesting question from the text line. I'm not sure if you've been asked this along your campaign. Texter asks, if you were elected, would you have a practice of endorsing other candidates in other elections, like we've seen from the sheriff's office before? I mean, we've seen it time again. Texter just wants to know, is that something you would do as sheriff, endorse other races?
That is an interesting question. No, I don't believe that politicians are to be doing that. The people elect you for your position because they have faith and confidence that you would do the job specific to that position. When you start getting into saying who should be the mayor, who should be the county commission, that becomes a power control. And that actually went on during the mayor's race. There were actually some politicos that were publicly supporting one candidate while trying to undermine other candidates. And when you start getting into that scenario, that is about power, control, and influence. And that is the old political machine. And I do not subscribe to that. And my commitment to the county is that if you elect me as the Mobile County Sheriff, I'm going to be the sheriff. I'm not going to go and determine for you as a voter who needs to be in another position.
As a law enforcement man, and not just law enforcement, but law enforcement will be a leader. You'll be over the entire county. You have been a police chief of the entire city force in Mobile. What motivates you every day? Because it just seems like it is a grind of a job. It doesn't always come with its flowers. It doesn't always come with its awards. It comes with a lot of there's a very large complaint department, I'm sure. You know, you get you hear it all.
Yeah.
What motivates a law enforcement man to do the job every day and to also make sure that the people under him are motivated to do the job as well? Because if you're not if you just got the badge on but you're not doing your thing, you're not helping anybody.
Well, let me just simply tell you this. That's an excellent question, and every recruit is asked that question. Why did you want to be a police officer? For me, I grew up in the Alabama Village. I grew up where there were two type of people on the streets, and as a kid, you're on the streets.
Yep.
You're either a bully or you're a victim, and I always found myself in the middle. I wasn't a bully, but I always found myself taking up for people. And for me, it's about helping people that can't help themselves.
Right.
Why am I in a campaign that's so vile and ugly, and it just seems to bring out sometimes the worst in people? I've never worked so hard to serve the people of the community. But the truth is because I see the devastation of crime, and not just violent crime, but petty crime. You know, the young mother, the single mother that had her 10-year-old's little pink bike stolen by a homeless guy.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be a big deal to you and me, but for that single parent mother that cannot just afford to go out and replace that bike, and for that child that now says, I don't have a bike, those things are important to me. And while it fuels my motivation, that is simply the thing as a leader that I pass down to everybody in the rank and file of the chief of police when I was at the city of Mobile, is that's what we signed up for. We signed up to help protect, preserve people and property.
And we'll continue our conversation with Paul Prine, who's running for sheriff of Mobile. So during your mayoral campaign, you know, one of the main themes, right, and it continues to this day, was while you were chief, kind of the tiff that happened between some of the city leaders and yourself,
right,
which led to a lawsuit. And that's one question that I see come up a lot is,
right,
and you've been asked it a ton of times, I'm sure, but another chance to answer it here. How do you answer people who feel that those issues between you and some others with the city would affect your leadership as sheriff of Mobile County?
So let me say this. I think the better response would be, rather than answer that directly, the better response would be this. Do you want a man or a woman that's in a leadership position that is responsible for upholding the rule of law and being able to call out corruption and impropriety and unethical issues, or do you want somebody that's going to go along to get along? And I'll go ahead and say it at the cost of losing a vote. If you're looking for a go-along, get-along kind of guy that's going to do whatever benefits me behind the curtain that does not benefit you as a voter, I'm not your guy. I am absolutely not your guy. But conversely, the same would be said, too, that if you do vote for me, you're going to find a guy that's going to advocate on behalf of the voter that put me in that job. And one of you may have did it all fair or asked a question. The sheriff's job is a very powerful position in the state of Alabama. It is a constitutional mandated position. You have to do right by the money. You have to do right by people with solving crime. But more importantly, that is a constitutional job. The chief of police cannot just go and investigate corruption. They may tell you he can, but that mayor may or may not want you to follow through with that. A sheriff answers to the people, and the reality of that is he or she does not have to have permission to investigate improper wrongdoing. Now, whether or not the prosecutors or the state attorney general follows up and does their part, that's a whole nother political matter and a whole nother conversation, but the sheriff does not need that. Does that mean I'm going on a head hunt looking for nobody? No. But having the right person in that job to stand up. Listen, there are some good politicians in Mobile County. I really believe that. But the truth is what good are they in their position if they turn a blind eye to corruption, improper issues, or things that are going on in our community? Because do you think Medellin, Colombia just became corrupt? It became corrupt from the top down, not from the bottom up.
Yeah.
And so just having the right person, right, it's kind of like a mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kids may be able to take advantage of mom because she's sweet and nurturing and loving, but when dad comes in the room, everybody tightens up if the dad is, you know, doing the right things with discipline, structure, and all the things that go on into a home. And I kind of liken that to the same thing. And I think really it's just maybe the political insiders that says that I'm adversarial and can't get along, but you don't become the chief of police for a major larger city in the state of Alabama like Mobile being adversarial, because being adversarial is a human flaw, and that starts early when you're young, right? Mm-hmm. And you would have never went through the rank and file. I just believe in law and order. I believe in the oath of office, and if people are looking for that, I'm your guy. But if you're just looking for the go-along, get-along kind of guy at the risk of losing this election, I say it with all humility and respect, I'm probably not the candidate for you.
They can watch your podcast, and they can catch up on exactly what you're trying to promote and how you would how you would run things as the sheriff of Mobile County. Talk about that real quick.
Well, thank you. Yeah, so I do have a YouTube podcast, and it is growing, and it's at Primetime Podcast. And I just talk about the difference of leadership styles and the things that I know for fact that are going on. Some people like it, some people don't, and I get it if you don't like it. It's not mudslinging. Mudslinging is saying things that are not true or scandalous. Not one thing that I've proved on there has been scandalous. It's all been true, and it's not to be ugly. I'm just telling you as a challenger, as an uphill battle, this is how we can do things better. And of course, certainly people can follow me on Facebook at Prime for Sheriff as well.
Well, this has been a fantastic interview. Have loved getting your opinion on so many of these issues that our listeners keep bringing up regarding this race. You've answered pretty much everything, but any final words here to the audience before we let you go?
Well, I would just want to say thank you for listening today. And if you're on the fence, I know that we're not going to always get the other guy's supporters, no more than he's probably going to get my base. But for those in the middle, if you're engaged, if you're paying attention, you know, and you're looking for change and you're looking for somebody that's serious about upholding the rule of law, I'm your candidate. I'm your guy. Just follow us. I think you'd be pleasantly surprised with some of the information you would find on there and kind of where I stand as a leader and my philosophy approach.
Paul Prime, thank you for spending so much time with us this morning, man.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Good to have you.
All right. There he is, former Mobile Police Chief Paul Prime, running to be the next sheriff of Mobile County. And we'll come back and wrap things up here on Mobile Mornings. Talk with Jeff Poor here in just a minute. And more Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5 on the way.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Hey, it's Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, pushing 8:55 now. Quickly on the text line, Rick says, outstanding with Prime to you both. Well, Paul was the one taking the questions. We were just trying to
sling them at him.
Yeah. But he's always, you know, he's been in the game a while now. He knows how to politic. He knows how to articulate the point he's trying to get across.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the facts. So he's always very prepared interview. So no problem. He's trying to become sheriff. He's got to have his stuff together.
Yeah, and we'll continue having interviews with candidates, not just for the sheriff's race, but all of these local and statewide races on the way. Tomorrow we'll talk with candidate for AL1, Joshua McKee, coming on the air with us before we talk with Rob Hulbert tomorrow. Friday, we'll talk with Tony Truitt. He's with Truitt News Radio, a show that runs over the weekend. And I just really like the vibe of that show. I don't know if you've gotten the chance to listen to it much.
I have, time
and
two.
He and a co-host kind of just talk about the news of the state, a lot of business news, but it's laid back, kind of like our show is from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And they just talk, and I think he's really cool. So we'll have him on Friday to talk about some statewide stuff. And then Monday, this is where I need the listeners' help, but we'll have my buddy Dylan Waller in from Waller Canine, training dogs, boarding dogs. He does a great, great job with it out there in Theodore, down there in Theodore. And we're going to do Ask the Expert with him on Monday. So if you have any questions, maybe you got something your dog does that annoys you, you haven't been able to figure out how to train him out of that, or, you know, whatever question you may have, maybe it has to do with crate training, get those in and we'll start compiling them for that interview on Monday.
Just to say this, I would think that we should be overflowed with all kinds of questions about dogs, because so many people own dogs, so many people pretty much, I think, like dogs, but they're in our lives everywhere, all around us. This is a guy, you know, if you've got any concern or question or a curiosity about your dog or maybe a neighbor's dog, whatever, or what's the right thing to do in terms of disciplining a dog, these questions can go on forever. So he's got the answers for sure.
He trains them at a really high level.
He does.
That'll be cool to talk with him about that. Speaking of these races, by the way, I don't want this to go too under the radar. There's a pretty big debate set up for tomorrow night. I don't know if they're officially calling it a debate or a forum, but this will be at Lurleen B. Wallace Community College, an AL1 debate, and it looks like all seven candidates in the Republican primary will be on stage together tomorrow night at 6:30. Looks like this is maybe a gray TV thing. You have Fox 10, WSFA, and WTVY all combining, and they'll have people asking questions from each of those stations, but Jerry Carl, that is, the former congressman, Rhett Marcus, Joshua McKee, James Dees, John Mills, James Richardson, and Austin Sidwell, all set to be participating in that tomorrow night at 6:30. There's only one Democrat running, so no primary on that side. So this will all just be Republicans, but that's coming up tomorrow night.
You, Joshua McKee has got a really incredible backstory that I'll let him tell it. But you can't avoid it when you're looking over his service to this country and his path to what he's doing now, you know, attempting to run and win in District 1. But it's one of those "are you kidding me" sort of stories that's got to do with his personal life that I think you'll be fascinated by.
Well, wow, you've left me hanging there, because I can't wait to hear what that is tomorrow when we talk with him.
When he told me the story initially, I was like, excuse me, let's go back over this again. I want these facts again. I might not be understanding. It's that kind of story.
By the way, we'll leave you with this. Trump's Truth Social from this morning.
Yeah.
China is very happy that I'm permanently opening the Strait of Hormuz. I'm doing it for them also and the world. They have agreed not to send weapons to Iran. President Xi will give me a big fat hug when I get there in a few weeks.
Well, there's a photo op for you right there. 8:59, April Marie in for Jeff. That's on the way.